Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Kevin Hagan on Fridays, hour number two, top of the hour, joins us to talk Alabama. Kevin, good morning to you, sir. First question from John down in Alabama. Ask Kevin if Trey Sanders has solidified himself as the backup to Brian Robinson.
Oh, Trey Sanders has had a great season so far. He's second on the team in rushing yardage, second on the team in carries. Personally, I'd like to see more Jace McClellan and a little less Brian Robinson myself, but we're certainly going to see those three, Brian Robinson, Trey Sanders, and Jace McClellan, once again be a running back by committee on Saturday in Gainesville.
I'll say it. I don't know that Brian Robinson is in the category of the tailbacks Alabama is used to starting under Saban. Not trying to be rude. I just don't think so.
I would agree, and I'm not picking on Brian Robinson. I mean, he's being rewarded. He's a fifth-year senior. He's from Tuscaloosa Hillcrest. He runs really hard. I mean, it's nothing anti him, but, you know, the two-star running backs on this roster are Jace McClellan, and the other one is Kamar Wheaton, who some of the coaches say Kamar is actually the most talented running back long-term that we have on the roster. The problem is true freshman Kamar Wheaton out of the Dallas Metroplex area is dealing with a knee injury he sustained late in fall camp, and I don't know if we're going to see Kamar play this year. But, yeah, it's not a knock on Brian Robinson. It's just I would just like to see more Jace McClellan and Trey Sanders. But Trey's obviously completely healthy from that devastating car accident, and it's great to see.
Will Anderson and the latest on his injury.
Yeah, Will Anderson's been able to practice. We all held our breath Saturday afternoon when he went down with the what turned out to be the hyperextension of his right knee. I do expect him to play tomorrow. I do think he's going to be, to use a baseball analogy, I think he's going to be on a quote-unquote pitch count, if you will. I think they will be strategic in the down and distance and the situations that they use Will Anderson. Chris Braswell, the redshirt freshman from Baltimore, Maryland, will step in and fill the void there at the Jack linebacker. So we will see some Will Anderson on Saturday. I just don't know how much.
Johnny Vegas down on the Emerald Coast. Ask Kevin if Florida's two quarterbacks will be able to beat Alabama's defense consistently enough to win the game on Saturday.
I mean, that's the big question. Obviously, Mike linebacker Henry To'o and Will linebacker Chris Harris are going to be a big part of stopping that. But it's really going to start up front. You know, the Phil Mathis and DJ Dale and Brian Young and Justin Avoye and Tim Smith. Boy, it'd be a great time for Tim Smith to go back to Florida and put a complete game together. You know, if they can get the job done against that Florida offensive line, and I think they're going to have success there. And And I like the ability of Will Anderson slash Chris Braswell and Drew Sanders. Drew, of course, has stepped in for the injury to Chris Allen to contain them, keep them from taking the corner against Alabama and forcing in the middle, forcing them to O and Harris. I really like Alabama's chances. Brian Branch, who kind of plays nickel or money for us. He's a very physical player in the secondary, number 14, Brian Branch, so look for Alabama to move him down into the box to help as well. But it's all going to be about containing those quarterbacks and their ability to run. And we'll know about 7 o'clock on Saturday night if this defense is what we think it is.
Yeah, and Anthony Richardson, that hamstring, they say he's a go. And if that's true and he's what he has been, then that's an issue to deal with.
It is, and, you know, I'm always, when it comes to other players, I always assume that they'll be healthy and they'll play. I'm interested to see, will Anthony Richardson, will they keep the formula they've used most of the year and bring him in on the third series of the game? Will we see more Anthony Richardson, less Emory Jones? It'll be interesting to see how Dan Mullen plays that. It's going to be a couple of interesting chess matches tomorrow afternoon. Dan Mullen versus Pete Golding, and then on the flip side, Bill O'Brien versus Todd Grantham. Be interesting to see how all that plays out tomorrow.
Kevin Hagan talking Alabama every Friday here on the radio show. I think I asked you about this, but I'll ask it again. Henry To'oto'o, how has he played today?
Extremely well. I mean, it's so helpful that he came from Tennessee where he already knew the defense. So, you know, there was no learning curve there. He's won the admiration of his teammates because he came in from day one wanting to be a part of the team and working his butt off. He's the one that calls the defense, and he's been an exceptional job of that. He's a very cerebral player. You know, we held our breath when he went down late in the Miami game with the UCL injury. It would have been devastating. If Alabama had lost Henry To'oto and Will Anderson and Chris Allen for the year, Bill, 2 games into the season, oh my gosh, it would have completely changed the outlook for the season. But Henry To'oto has exceeded the expectations of the Alabama coaches since transferring from Tennessee.
Yeah, we knew he was that kind of impact player. Sometimes the newness takes time, regardless of your experience or of knowledge of the job description. But in this case, you say he has stepped right in.
He has, and it's a tribute to his personal maturity. You know, he came in. He didn't come in with the attitude of, hey, you know, I'm the big free agent signing, you know, move right over. He knew that he had a battle with Jalen Moody, returning player from South Carolina, and he came in like he was a true freshman and was owed absolutely nothing and absolutely worked his butt off. And he's earned the right to be the starting Mike linebacker. I couldn't be happier for his addition to Alabama. And it's helped Chris Harris a whole lot. It's free Christian Harris to just play free and be the player that we know he can be from the Will linebacker position.
Nick was talking early in the Mercer week about how they'd only put together a half of football, and if you measure the second half, it was 17-16, and the players weren't responding like he wanted early in the week. Now, this is over a week ago. How have things gone since then?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I'll be real honest with you. I've been sharing with the crew 2 weeks into the season. I'm not a happy camper at all. I'm actually pretty thoroughly disgusted with what I've seen in 2 games. You know, the quote, you know, Nick's got a lot of great quotes, but the one that comes to mind for this team is he says, you know, there's 2 pains. There's the pain of discipline, or there's the pain of disappointment. And what we're going to find out Saturday, it's time to find out, is the 2021 team going to be a team of discipline or a team of disappointment? And I'll be real honest with you, Bill. You know, I understand Mercer's garbage and blah, blah, blah. And we did play a good first half against Miami. But like you said, you know, Alabama's 58-3 in the first half and 34-24 in the second half. I'm ready for the Alabama team collectively to pull their head out of their butt tomorrow and go to Gainesville and give me 60 minutes of Alabama football. And they better do that, or they're gonna come home disappointed. I mean, we're 11-2 in the swamp. Let's not go down there and lose for the third time. So as you can tell, Bill, I'm not happy with what I've seen in the first 2 games. I'm ready to see them turn the page tomorrow, and let's act like an Alabama football team.
Jeff Chu says, ask Kevin, there's a 60% chance of rain in Gainesville Saturday. What does Saban do differently in practice to game plan for that weather possibility?
Well, the first thing is we don't talk about external factors like that. Nick Saban's really, really big on that. Doesn't want to put that in their mind. It's a great question from Jeff. Alabama constantly works, though, with wet ball drills. So they'll be prepared for that, you know, depending on, I know there's also, what, a 33% chance of thunderstorms. So, I mean, if we get into really inclement weather, you know, it could change the play calling sequence for Bill O'Brien. Both Alabama and Florida think that they have strong running games. I mean, although our running game, in my opinion, has underperformed at this point thanks to our offensive line. So we'll just see. I hope the weather is not a factor tomorrow. I hope we get to see the best that these two teams have to offer.
Offensive line tackle to tackle, grade them today.
Yeah, okay, so there's a question tomorrow. Okay, Evan Neal at left tackle. I'm not worried about Evan Neal. Okay, he's going to take somebody's lunch money from you. Chris Owens has been playing right tackle, and here's my fear going into tomorrow. I have two concerns. One is Chris Owens at right tackle. He's going to be going up against Brenton Cox. Chris cannot allow to get Bryce Young to get killed. If Bryce Young goes down, the season's over in terms of a run for a national championship. The other question is Darren Dalcourt at center. If Chris Owens struggles tomorrow, Saban has a couple of options. He can bring Kendall Randolph as the tight end over to provide extra help for Chris. He could replace Chris Owens with Kendall Randolph. But if Chris Owens really struggles tomorrow, I think you would see them insert Damian George. Since it's on the road, phenom J.C. Latham, who is he's the right tackle of the future this season. He's played on special teams. I don't know that they would insert him on the road in Gainesville in that situation. If Owens struggles, I think it'll go to Damian George. But here's the thing. If Darian Dalcourt and Chris Owens can hold their own, and particularly if Chris can do it without help, then I really, really like Alabama's chances to have a tremendous amount of success against that Florida defense tomorrow.
Kevin Hagan with us. And Kevin, just a quick note, all the news out of Wayman's world is very good right now. He's in a private room like we were talking about. He's getting more healthy, sitting up. We've got the Wings for Wayman, which is on GoFundMe, but all those prayers I think worked.
All those prayers are where God answers prayers. You know, I wish this 2021 Alabama team had the fight and vigor that Wayman does. Wayman's got a ton of courage, and I passionately ask all of our listeners, please take a few minutes today. Go to GoFundMe.com, Wings for Wayman, and listen, you don't have to give $500, $1,000. Anything you can contribute will help, and it'll be a blessing. And Wayman so appreciates the prayers and the texts. The listeners of this show have no idea what they've meant to Wayman, and I thank you for that. Just please contribute what you can for our friend Wayman.
Kevin, we will see you next week.
Have a great Friday, and as always, Roll Tide.
Kevin Hagan joins us every Friday talking Alabama, and Frank with you right there. Wants to see the team pick it up a notch or two. Got to go down to Gainesville, a very difficult place to play. I tell you what, Happy Valley, where Auburn's got to go, is right at the top of the list of places to play and the difficulty you're met with as the visitor. That one, I'm telling you, man, I am very excited about that game. I can't wait to get to that. Anyways, Brad, coming up hour number three, all your gambling, all your handicapping, wagering, all that sinful stuff. The most sinful hour in radio is Friday's hour number three. We do that on purpose. Just make sure you have a church to go to right after that hour three. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. This wreck is slowing down traffic. People staring at it. 24 westbound at Bell Road. You got all that traffic coming in from Rutherford County. 6400 block of Harding Pike. That's a crash out on the west side. Getting some attention. And it's busy now on 65 here at Trinity Lane. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world famous cotton candy wine. Log on to GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hayes Nissan of Rivergate is not the only choice when it comes to buying, selling, or trading your vehicle, but it is the best choice. Located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, Hayes Nissan of Rivergate has been serving the Middle Tennessee community for over 3 decades. That gives you confidence that Hayes Nissan of Rivergate can find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget, and their friendly and knowledgeable staff will make sure you are in the right hands. If you're feeling rugged, check out their brand new Titans, or you might be feeling sporty and want to check out the all-new Maximus. And don't forget about their award-winning parts, service, and body shop. They have everything you need to get you back on the road. Go visit them on the web at nissanofrivergate.com, where they are open 24/7 or in person at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Or if you want to give them a call, it's easy at 615-865-7220. Again, that number is 615-865-7220. That's Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
No time to drive through? Get Slim's delivered. Our hand-breaded tenders, perfectly fried wings, southern sides, and even sweet treats. All delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim Chickens app and select delivery. Whether you're driving through, pulling up for curbside service, or now getting it delivered, Slim's has you covered. Download the Slim Chickens app and order online.
With 3 locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
When we talk about the NL East crown, we're talking about free bombs, Wreck-It Riley, and dominant pitching.
One pitch is hit high in the air and deep to right field. Kiss it goodbye. Touch all four this time, Ozzy.
Tonight, Dansby, Riley, and the Braves kick off a huge West Coast swing as they roll into Oracle Park in San Francisco to take on the Giants.
Coverage begins tonight at 8:30 on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio. Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Yeah, I did the OOP. I do it every week. I've done it during the playing portion of the season for several years. I don't remember the first year. Been doing it for several years, though. And every time I do it, I get complaints about the teams I leave off. And that's fine. No. That's, hey. Your OOP might not be mine. That's all good. I like to read those. I like to stimulate my mind. Say, that game. The number one complaint I've gotten this week, and every week there's one that stands out. The number one complaint is West by God, Virginia, Virginia Tech. That's the one that I've caught more heat about than any of the others. That should be a fun game. Yeah, that got left out. No, I go through. What I do is on Sunday. One of the first things I do on Sunday during the playing portion of the season is I check the next weekend's schedule, because I don't look down the road much at schedules. I really don't. I, you may just, by virtue of memory, know where a game is a few weeks down the road, or obviously rivalry weekends, you know where all those are. But I don't just peek at the next week's schedule too much, if at all. I'm always just locked in on here's what's going on now. Here's what to deal with today and on Saturday. But on Sunday, after, let's say, week two, I'll look and I'll know games week three. And then I'll go through them all. And then I will decide what the OOP is going to look like, the top five. And I do it and I post it and that's it. I don't change it. I don't maneuver it at all. There it is. And that's the number one. Usually there's a game. Now, there's a weekend or two where it's just kind of crappy. I mean, I'll still like it because it's college football, but there's not a lot of attractive matchups. And sometimes it's hard to get to five. I'll post five, but sometimes it's hard to get all the way to five with attractiveness. But most of those that I put out, there's at least one or two games where you could debate, shouldn't they be in there? And that's fine. Now, that's all part of it. Speaking of that, Josh has put out several parlays. I always get Rob's parlay out by Friday, but I promise you earlier, and it always escapes me. But I will have that for you this morning. I promise you. Josh has put out some parlays. Last week, I told you, he had a 12-team parlay. $5 would have yielded $10,600, and he came close. He came real close to hitting it. Now, I know you don't get any points for that. You don't get any money for that. But it was a very well-done parlay. Problem is, you got to hit them all, right? 12-teamer. I wonder what the odds of hitting a 12-teamer. It's got to be astronomical, right? But that Virginia Tech-West Virginia game, he's got on this latest one he just put out, and part of it he's got Virginia Tech plus 3. Now, again, this is a parlay. He's got Michigan State, Miami. Now, I got some complaints on that one, too. That one ought to be in the top five. And he's got Sparty getting 6 in that one. Army, Connecticut, and he's taking the under 48. I told you he's got Virginia Tech plus 3. Nebraska, Boomer, Sooner. He's got Nebraska plus 22. Cincinnati, IU, he's got IU plus 4. And New Mexico, Texas A&M, he's got the Aggies minus 29.5. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a 6-teamer. He put down $1.50. If he wins it, it's $69.72 in his parlay. See, that's smart. That's the way you handle those things. You put down soda pop money on it, or a slice of pizza money on it. That's the way to do those. That way it's fun. L Dog down in Georgia. Bill, you can tell it's a big game when Kevin Hagan comes in salty about how Alabama has been playing. It's going to be a fun game. Let's go Bama, beat Florida. Dogs never root for the Gators. Just to let you know that. Jeff, too. Bill, don't know if you've talked about this yet. Tulane plays Ole Miss tomorrow and is wearing throwback logo helmets. On the helmet, they have a sticker with the years Tulane won the SEC. Who brought that up? I didn't, but somebody. It was either Landry or Blake, or maybe Georgia Duck. I don't remember, but yeah, I was looking at it. That is pretty cool. And it says on the very back, SEC champs, 34. It's from the side, 34, 39, and 40 something. Tulane was in the SEC along with Georgia Tech until the 60s, mid to late 60s. And they both left, not the same year, but they both left, which was a horrible mistake. At least revenue-wise, it was a horrible mistake. But they back in the day, if you want to throw it back that far, can name 3 SEC championships. Got to remember, we're talking about all these expansion rumors and leagues maybe that are 16 or more teams. And back before the SEC was formed in 1933, the league that Alabama and Florida and Georgia and Tennessee and LSU, and they were all in this league. I believe it was the Southern League. There was at times 40 teams in that league. Not kidding. Not kidding. It thinned out. Suwannee, University of the South in Mont Eagle, Tennessee, they were in there. There were tons of them in there. Georgia Tech, obviously. And then they formed in the early 30s in a hotel room in Knoxville, the Southeastern Conference, to start in 1933. That hotel is still there in Knoxville. People check in there daily. I don't know if I've ever been in that hotel. I lived there for 2 years at on Rocky Top, but I don't know if I ever went by and paid homage for that hotel. I don't know that I did. You know, when I was going to school there, I don't even think I knew that. So I wouldn't have had the knowledge to go by and say, hey, this is the spot where magic occurred. This is where they started it all, y'all. This is where the chant SEC, SEC started. Well, it really didn't, but they hatched everything. Let's put it that way. Brad's coming up. Hour number three, Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com. Gambling, he's out in Las Vegas. Rob was pointing this out yesterday. Brad, to date, has had a really good year. 2 weeks, actually, well, including week zero, which was a minuscule schedule. But several weeks in here, he has done a fantastic job with his picks. And I get his newsletter. The newest newsletter arrives on Wednesdays, and always check it out. Always go through there. And if you want access to that, just go to his site, bradpowersports.com. Click on the Bill King tab and order. Order it. It is, I'm telling you, it's if you're into that kind of thing now, not everybody bets, but if you're into that kind of thing, then you can do it. Yeah, you'll appreciate all the knowledge that's in there. Teams, I tell you what, it's going to be fun to watch Ohio State just to see how they respond. A lot of rumors about changes on the defense. There's rumors about maybe somebody else is going to be calling the plays on the defense. I just want to see how they respond. Ohio State is not eliminated from anything. Now, that was not a very impressive performance, and yes, it was an impressive performance if you're looking at the Duckies. That was an impressive road W in the horseshoe. That looks good on the resume. That'll work. But they're not eliminated. Clemson's not eliminated. But you can't afford another slip-up anywhere. Unless this year just takes on an 07-type personality, which it's not doing that right now. No, there have been games that people didn't pick that have been upsets, but this is not representing, this is not mimicking 07 right now. It's not. There's not another year that's come close to 07. And I don't know, I guess some year it's possible. I mean, 07, Nick was in his first, isn't that ironic? Nick was in his first year at Alabama in 07. Les Miles eventually would win the national championship that year, 07. Appalachian State started the season upsetting on the Big Ten Network's debut, Michigan. And all that happened that year, crazy, crazy year. We don't have anything near like that right now in college football. Many wild years like that. LSU lost to Kentucky that year, and they lost to Arkansas. What would that be, about Thanksgiving weekend? They still won the national championship. Two losses, Kentucky and Arkansas. I remember watching the Kentucky game from the beach. We actually went on fall break and did my show from down there in Destin. In Sandestin, and I remember it's Saturday, and everybody's out on the beach, the kids, the wife. It's, by the way, that's a wonderful time to go down there because it's not busy at all compared to spring and summer. October down there, oh, beautiful. Absolutely just breathtaking. And I remember looking out at the ocean, everybody's out there frolicking and having a good time, and I'm in there watching college football all Saturday. Now, it was worth it. It was worth it. But, yeah, I'm sitting there watching Kentucky beat LSU. Up in Cincinnati, Mr. M. Roos, who drives that big motor, sent us some pictures the other day. He was out somewhere in the countryside out there in Ohio, going through rivers and stuff, zipping around. Says Bill King, out in God's country, riding dirt bikes in the woods, came across this banner, have a great weekend. And it's a Natty Light sign. It says, drink Natty, make stories. And it's a 12-pack for $9.99. No. A 15-pack. For $9.99. That's pretty good. If you're into that kind of thing. Butch down in Birmingham. Hope we get to see Butch if he has the time to get up to Commitments again. We met him last time. Known him for a long time here on the show. He puts up the Wings for Women. And it's a link there. Let me hit the retweet on that one. And that's where, if you have the ability, if you're interested, to go and donate to help Wayman out. Wayman is in a private room now, and he's not needing any oxygen help. And they're getting him up, moving him around a little bit. Slow there, but that's fine. He is absolutely making progress. Next step is to get him to rehab. After that, get him home so he can reunite. His dog's back there waiting on him. Yeah, his precious dog is back there waiting. And he's got somebody. Yes, he's got somebody taking care of the dog. Don't worry about that. We've had some people ask questions. Like, Bill, wait a minute. Bill, who's taking care of that dog? What's going on around here? It's all good. Hawkeye Jason. Bill, the Zucker returns to Champaign, Illinois tonight. Yes, he's at Maryland. Zucker is on the Maryland staff, and I haven't talked to the Zucker in several years, and I regret that. There's a bunch of coaches I have not been in touch with in a few years that I regularly stayed in touch with. Shame on me. Shame on them, too. That works both ways, right? America 1970 down in Georgia. Bill, what are you cooking this weekend? We'll be watching the football games from a volleyball tournament this weekend. And then he says, go Georgia Tech. You know what? I don't know. Because on Saturdays, I don't cook out. I don't want to be outside dealing with, and I love to cook out. You know that. But not during college football. Sundays would be the day, and I don't know that we've come up with anything. Been cooking a lot of chicken. We cooked chicken last night. Had some breasts, had some thighs. I love chicken thighs. It's my favorite. When it comes to chicken, that is my favorite. More so than wings, more so than all that. I'll tell you what I've been thinking about, though. Now that you brought that up, I'm going to tell you, when we come back, I'm going to tell you what I was fantasizing food-wise about yesterday, and I couldn't get it out of my head. Regardless of what I was doing yesterday, this kept staying in my brain and would not escape. Brad's coming up hour number 3. All of that's for you. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Keep your health care costs low and your health at an all-time high with the power of preventive dental and vision plans from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. UT Martin overcame 5 first-quarter turnovers to top Samford 33-27 last Saturday. The win was the 91st for head coach Jason Simpson at UTM, one away from 5th place in OVC history. Murray State quarterback Preston Rice has 5 rushing touchdowns this season, most among all FCS players, while Tennessee State's Dayron Johnson is first in the OVC and 9th nationally in all-purpose yards at 148 per game. Austin Peay is ranked nationally in both top 25 polls, number 19 in the Stats Perform poll, and number 21 by the FCS coaches. UT Martin running back Peyton Logan was named OVC Offensive Player of the Week, while teammate linebacker Dakarius Stevens was named Defensive Player of the Week. Top specialist was Eastern Illinois punter Logan Neidhart, while UT Martin quarterback Keon Howard was Newcomer of the Week. 7 games, including 3 versus FBS schools, are set for Saturday, and all are available to be viewed on the ESPN family of networks. That includes the first home games of the season for Austin Peay, Eastern Illinois, and Tennessee State. TSU game features Eddie George coaching at Nissan Stadium for the first time, where he was a Titans star. The schedule includes also Southeast Missouri at Missouri, Tennessee Tech at Tennessee, Morehead State at Austin Peay, Kentucky State at TSU, Murray State at Bowling Green, Illinois State at Eastern Illinois, and UT Martin at Northwestern State. Follow the league on all your favorite social media platforms at OVC Sports. You won't believe it until you OVC it. This has been the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. I'm Greg Pogue wishing everybody a great weekend of OVC football.
Get the ultimate mouth guard with affordable coverage from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Offering a large network of dentists and a variety of plans, you'll get better coverage than a defensive secondary. Learn more at DeltaDentalTN.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
We can see your smile, and we think you should be able to see it too. With Delta Dental of Tennessee and Delta Vision, we can improve your overall well-being by keeping your teeth and eyes healthy. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to find an affordable plan.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
I just posted Rob's Week 3 parlay. And it's a 6-teamer. He's got IU plus 4 against Cincinnati. He's got Texas San Antonio minus 12.5 against Jeff in the Borough. They're not playing Kentucky, no. They're playing MTSU. That's probably misleading. Penn State minus 5.5 versus Auburn. East Carolina plus 10 against Marshall. Western Michigan plus 15 against Pittsburgh. And Northwestern minus 3 versus the Deity. That's what he's got in his 6-teamer. But I posted it. It's on Twitter if you need it. Just jump on my timeline there and you'll see it. Oh, we were talking earlier. America 1970, Bill, what are you cooking? I don't know because I don't cook on Saturdays. Not sure what we're doing Sunday. But here's what I was thinking about yesterday. I was thinking all the way to Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not trying to get there tomorrow. I'm not rushing to it. I was thinking about turkey gumbo. I talk to you about this every year. That's my favorite thing, particularly around Thanksgiving. But it's good anytime. And we make so much of it. We save it. We freeze it. Months later, pull one out, microwave it. It tastes phenomenal. And we cook at least 5 gallons of it. Probably, I wish we could do more. But that's my favorite part. We save the turkey carcasses. We put those in the freezer, depending on when we're going to do it. But I was tasting it. I was thinking about it yesterday. And I don't know why it hit me. Just out of the blue it hit me. It hits me about a little later every year, actually. When is that? Later in November. But, oh, I could have it for breakfast. Now, some people are real funny about, you know, if you're going to have breakfast, you eat breakfast stuff, right? I could have a cup, just put in a coffee cup of turkey gumbo. We put some Cajun sausage in it, some andouille sausage in it. I can't. I've had a lot of people hit me up and say, Bill, send me the recipe. I'll have to go find it, but it's always in some drawer and I always misplace it, but it is, and it takes a long time. It's not something you're going to do at 3 and then you're dishing it up at 5. At least not the way we do it. Oh, there's a lot of bell pepper chopping, a lot of onion chopping. Lots of preparation. And the longer you can let it sit, the better. Just keep it warm, and it is wonderful. So yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I was obsessing over yesterday. That's what I couldn't get past yesterday, is thinking about the turkey gumbo. One thing we've never done is we've never had it for Thanksgiving. We always make it after, and we always cook 4 to 5 turkeys at least. We end up cooking 100 pounds of turkey probably. And that gets thrown in there, other than all that we eat for Thanksgiving. And it's just, I can't even, I need to get that off my mind, because it's making me hungry for it right now. And we're not even close to Thanksgiving. Is many miles down the road. Heck, Thanksgiving is almost to commitmas. It's just a couple of weeks away, right? From commitments. Commitments this year, I get this all the time, and it bears repeating, is December the 15th. So if you're coming into town, check in on the 14th at the Omni. I do not have that link for you yet. Don't worry about it. By the way, Jeff, too, just pulled up the turkey gumbo recipe that I sent him. There it is. So if I actually lost my copy, I can just print this one out. Yeah, there it is, in case you want it. It is so good. It is, I'm telling you, I could make that monthly and eat it and never get tired of it. You know how some things you get tired of? Even if you like it, if you eat it too much, you get tired of it. This right here, never ever have I said, you know, I don't want that. Not interested. I've never said it. It's that good. Brad is coming up. By the way, Josh has broken a rule. I'm not shocked Josh did this, and it's down on my timeline. Let me read this to you. The audacity of Josh to do this. This is 15 minutes ago. Bill, when Brad comes on, what are the odds of me hitting this parlay? If I win it, I think I'm going to move to Wilco. That is breaking a long-time rule of the show. Don't post your questions before we get right up to Brad. If Josh wasn't royalty, I wouldn't even be reading this right now. But Josh is royalty on the show, so he gets preferential treatment. He thinks he can break rules, though, by just posting this 30 minutes before Brad comes on. Now, see, here's the problem. If I read this for Brad, everybody's going to think they can post early, too. No, not everybody's equal. You don't all get treated the same. It's kind of like in junior high. The star quarterback in seventh grade gets treated different than everybody else, right? That's true. It's not just as an adult, or it's not just as a college player. That starts very early. So, yeah, if I give Josh preferential treatment, I probably will. But he broke a rule, and he's not going to be punished for it either. He just broke the rule. Josh, I got some news for you, too. Josh, several months ago, sent me a Catholics versus Convicts shirt. Long sleeve, exactly what I wanted. Just out of the blue, he said, Bill, it's coming your way. Incredibly nice gesture. I wore it. People identified it in public. They said, Bill, I remember that game. I love that shirt. I can't find it. I've asked everybody in this house, have you seen this shirt? I pulled up a picture of it. I have gone in every room, gone through all the clothes. It has to be in this house. And I can't find it. So, Josh, I desecrated one of your gifts, it sounds like. I'm still looking. I'm not giving up on it either. But I cannot find it. I'd wear it today if I could find it. It was my favorite shirt. I only got to wear it once. Brad coming up top of the hour. We'll get one more break. I'm the Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It appears to be a minor accident at Blackman Road at Danby Road. Traffic still a little bit tied up in the 1100 block of Murfreesboro, Pike, South Nashville, on that scene of that earlier crash. Pebble Creek at Una Antioch Pike. That wreck did have some injuries. Traffic's building pretty good now on 24 passing Bell Road. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out now at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue downtown.
Thursday Night Football is only on NFL Network.
No time it is everything you got.
We're here for a storied rivalry with the game's brightest stars.
What an impressive run with a stiff arm.
Saquon is back, giving the Giants renewed hope.
What a game he's had.
But Chase Young has his squad ready to defend the division crown.
I'm not losing.
It's an NFC East showdown.
Woo, there, baby.
That's big time there.
Thursday Night Football, Thursday at 8, only on NFL Network.
Greg Pogue back once again to tell you about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just inside the Fifth Avenue entrance across from the Music City Center. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving a fresh, locally roasted coffee, classic, handcrafted espresso drinks, and fresh baked goods. Open every morning at 7 until 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and noon on Sunday, Bongo Java adds to that great Omni Nashville Hotel experience.
It's the NFL on Sports USA, and we're in the Windy City as the Chicago Bears defend their home turf against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals bring Joe Burrow and a trio of targets in Higgins, Boyd, and Chase.
Ball's caught inside the five. Touchdown, Cincinnati!
The Bears have Andy Dalton facing his old team and Khalil Mack bringing the heat on defense. It's the Bengals at the Bears, this Sunday on Sports USA.
Pre-game coverage starts at 11:30 live on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
He knows more about the oblong spheroid than any man in America. It's Bill King.
A tweet, and I'll just read it and then I'll explain. Razor catch prey. says, Bill, just saw a tweet that Coach Ken has been fired by Navy for refusing the vaccine. Tell me that's not true. No. The only thing that's happened there is they're terrible. Last couple of years, their offense has just crashed and burned. Quarterback play is not good. Can't score at all. And they fired offensive coordinator, longtime offensive coordinator, Ivan Jasper. Then they reverse course and reinstated him, but he's not going to be the play caller or the offensive coordinator. That's the drama there. Now, didn't one of the military academies fire or a coach got eliminated because he wouldn't take the vaccine? It wasn't the head coach, though. There is a story like that, but it wasn't the head coach, which is absolutely absurd. But no, I have not seen any story like that at all. I like Coach Ken. He'd been on the show various times through the years. We don't really do much with coaches anymore, as you know, on the show. But they are not Navy is not a very good football team right now, and they haven't been for a couple of years now. They really peaked out a few years ago, and they had some really excellent teams through there. Not right now, and it's predominantly that offense, and you know how they run their offense, but they're not even able to get that going right now. But, yeah, it was kind of bizarre because they fired their coordinator, longtime coordinator, and then he reinstated him but did not reinstate him back into his former job responsibility is the best way to describe it. Josh says, Bill, I could send you another one. I can't find that one anymore, but I'll keep looking. Josh, I don't know what happened. I'm serious. I feel terrible because I've asked my wife 10 times about it. She doesn't know where it is. I've asked my kids, could it have ended up in their clothes? And it can't be anywhere else. I mean, I don't go anywhere where I have to remove my shirt. So the only place it could be is in the house. It's not like I went somewhere, took my shirt off, and then left. That did not happen. Chubby has checked in, and he's posted a Brad Powers. Now, see, it's 5 minutes till. That's okay. That's okay. Smoke Doctor Bill, why won't Notre Dame accommodate the Purdue band's big drum? The big drum at Purdue's considered. They broadcast it as the, or they promote it as the biggest drum in the world. And here's the way I understand this. The visitors area where they have to walk through is too narrow. And Notre Dame has denied them another entrance into the game. Now, they played there, I think, and if Jordan's listening, I think he said 7 years ago was the last time. And at that time, they were able to get the drum in, but apparently they have had construction there in that area. That passage from the visiting area into the stadium is more narrow now after the construction, and that big drum does not fit. And Notre Dame won't let them, like, take another entrance into the stadium. That's all I know. I'm laughing because it's silly. It's just... But it's a thing, and actually, Josh brought that up earlier, and then somebody else posted it. But Smoke Doctor, that's what I understand. There's probably a more meticulous explanation for it than what I just explained to you, but that's the way I understand it. All right, go ahead and post. Just start the avalanche. Post your question for Brad. Brad has been very, very good to date, and you know how that goes. That's a tough world now. That betting and spread picking and all that is a very volatile, tough world, but he does it, and he exists in it, and he makes his living in it. Got to remember, Brad Powers does not do anything else for a living. That's what he does. That's what he does, and he's doing quite well right now. So we'll have him on hour number three, and post your question. Use the hashtag AskBP. Yeah, AskBP, and we will get those to him. The more, the better. Last week, we had an avalanche of them, and quite a few of them never got on the air. I don't like that they don't get on the air, but I do like the number of questions you have for him. I will try and get as many of those on as I can. I usually go in the order that they come to me in, but not necessarily promising you that's the way I'll do it. I will skip around sometime. If I think something's getting bogged down, I'll skip around. You know, if one topic keeps getting asked or something, I'll move around some. But usually now, again, not the rule, but most of the time I'll get them in the order which they came. I just don't want to promise you that. Brad's coming up, hour number three, Friday edition. Already Friday, Omni Nashville Hotel.